Vinny's View on the home of the Suns. Arizona Sports 98.7 in the Arizona Sports app. Brought to you by Bumblebee Plumbing. They can buzz right over. Why? Because they care. BumblebeePlumbingAZ.com.
Over the last four seasons, the fan base of the Phoenix Suns has been put through the ringer in each of the final playoff games played on the home court at Footprint Center. A loss, a different feeling each time. In 2021, fans watched Drew Holiday pick the pocket of Devin Booker in a one-point game, then feed Giannis for a lob dunk in a three-point play in Game 5 that broke the back of the Suns and squelched their championship hopes. The feeling in the air that night, disbelief. The next year, they watched with their jaws agape as Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks ran the Suns out of the gym in Game 7 to win a series that the Suns led 2-0 and 3-2. The feeling walking out of the arena that night, white-hot anger. Last season, the Nuggets showed the Suns the playoff door with another 25-point cakewalk in which Cameron Payne was the only Suns player who showed up. That feeling? Embarrassment. Last night, the Suns played their best game of the first-round series, but lost a hard-fought 122-116 decision to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Phoenix swept out of the playoffs in the first round, the first time they didn't win a game in a best-of-seven series since 1989 when Magic Johnson and the Lakers swept the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. The overwhelming feeling last night, at least as I felt it, relief. Yes, if you care about the Suns at all, you're probably feeling that too. I describe the journey of this season many times in Vinny's View as a roller coaster during the year. If you want to compare this playoff series to something you'd find at a carnival, how about whack-a-mole? Every time the Suns pop their head up looking to compete, either Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Mike Conley, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, or Nikhil Alexander Walker took turns bashing their heads. Last fall, we were told at Media Day that this was the best team in the league by the owner of the franchise. We were told by the head coach that they'd be scrappy as hell. We wanted to believe it, even though we've really known the truth since around Christmas time. I sat courtside and did my best to drum up crowd support once upon a time for a 19-win team in the 2018-2019 season. I only saw 12 wins in person, 29 losses, and some real ugly ones. And you know what? That year was more fun than this one. This team never seemed connected, never seemed to latch onto its coaching staff, never seemed to play for each other for the most part, and now it's all over. Disbelief to anger to embarrassment to relief. Believe it or not, I'd sign up for those first three feelings over relief anytime. And that is Vinny's View.
I would say the details. You know, I've been on a pretty successful team. KD's won a ring. Coach Fizdale's been a part of the Miami Heat. I mean, Coach Vogel won one with the Lakers. I think everybody would say, you know, these are the time that the details matter. And it's something that, you know, we kind of passed by and, you know, didn't think it was a big deal, but came back and bit us in the ass.
Yeah, the details did come back and bite you, Devin Booker. But it wasn't really the details just of this series. Man, let's start at the beginning. You want to talk about a poorly constructed roster?
Yeah, listen.
As I'm sitting there watching the game last night and watched this series unfold, here's what the Suns were lacking from a roster standpoint. Size, ball handling, rebounding, three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, am I leaving anything
that's
out?
All the tangible stuff. Yeah, and the list of intangibles is even longer. No, you're absolutely right. So this is a very flawed blueprint from the very beginning. The lack of a point guard, I think, just sent this team down set them down a bad path. And so I think everything that you're saying is absolutely accurate. But the fact that this team was on occasion able to beat the Nuggets twice in Denver to produce results, the way they finished the regular season, they were the masters at teasing you with a culture that just drifted in and out and in and out. That's been the most really bizarre thing to me, is that I've seen broken basketball teams before, so have you.
Yes.
You've seen mutinies before. You've seen all flavors of malfeasance in the NBA. Rarely will you ever find a team that like went in and out of cohesion like this team did. And then for this team to repeatedly shirk accountability, even on Saturday, Kevin Durant saying the coach is the leader. Not the coach is the leader. this is from the same group of players that were rolling their eyes at the coach. So, you know, look, hiring Frank Vogel to coach this basketball team, obviously they got that wrong. It personality wise, the lack of strength to challenge and to confront and to put your foot down. He got steamrolled by these guys.
And apparently, from the Athletic article, tried to do that late, and that's what caused the, really? Now you're going to get mad?
Which is really, really a dumb idea. Listen, you know as well as I do, there were stories in the midseason of a player who was not even active dressing down the team.
Yes.
Because the head coach did not or could not. So this was not a hire suited to this team, its personality, and its talent.
No.
So they've got to own that. So the fact that Frank Vogel seems and expressed a great deal of confidence that he's coming back next year really strikes me as a guy that's either that's in denial or he can't wait to get out of here either.
Look, there were people talking about Frank Vogel's job security as far back as December. Kind of came to a head on the Christmas Day game when Luka and the Mavericks came in for the holiday beatdown of the Suns. Going into the All-Star break, I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks, who were second in the East at that point, had I think they were 30-13. They fired their first-year head coach in Adrian Griffin. And people were wondering, are the Phoenix Suns going to go down the same road? They didn't. They stuck with it. You see the results. I wonder if it could have been different. I wonder if this was salvageable.
Mm.
You know, at the end of the season, you talked about being teased. We got teased in the last part of the season. Everybody pointed at the last 10 games and said, all right, who are the Suns going to be? Are they going to announce themselves as a real serious basketball team? And in those last 10 games, the hardest 10-game stretch any team has had in the NBA to end a season in three decades, they did and they didn't. They did tell us that they were capable of it, but they also threw in a couple of stinkers as well. Mm-hmm. But the way the season ended with the win in Sacramento, the win in Minnesota, fueled by Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Beal almost single-handedly rekindled faith in this team.
You're right.
And what Bradley Beal put out there last night, I love Bradley Beal. I really do. I enjoy him. I think he's a very talented basketball player. There's things about Bradley Beal I'd like to change. Last night, not only did he play poorly, but I think the reason he played so poorly in the fourth quarter is he was feeling sorry for himself.
He was.
Things were not going well, and he put out the worst on-court body language I've ever seen.
It was pretty bad.
And I watched every game Marquise Chris played in a Suns uniform. It was atrocious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm
22 seconds of, oh.
Yeah.
It's not going well for me.
Oh, he had slumped shoulders. He had the hangdog look. Yeah. And again, I get having a bad night on the big stage, but if you're a true winner and you're schooled and built to win, you find other ways to contribute and you don't bring that negativity to the floor. And look, and listen, all right, we got a break. We'll get back into this.
Yeah, we will. But we want to invite you to get in on it as well. We're going to open up the phone lines for the first time this morning. Get your thoughts on the game, the series, the season for the Phoenix Suns, because it is all over. 602-260-9870. Your phone calls next here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings.
Hey, it's Luke. After getting swept out of the first round by Minnesota, what is next for the Phoenix Suns as they head into a long offseason? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Edwards on the drive, got around Beal and throws it down with a right-hand jam. 36 on the night for Anthony Edwards, and those were the two loudest.
John Bloom on the call. Anthony Edwards finished with 40 points last night. This sweep was not defined by Anthony Edwards' greatness. Last night was. He was spectacular last night.
Yeah, he was.
It looked like it didn't matter what the Suns did. He mm-hmm. was just going to carry his team to victory. 4-0. It's all over. Timberwolves move on to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and before we get to the phone calls, I'll just say that Devin Booker was sensational last night.
He was fantastic.
But how about throwing stuff against the wall? Fans are looking out there going, who is that guy with the word little on on his back. And is that a metaphor for what this team looks like against Minnesota?
It certainly was.
I literally had one of my friends in my group chat who was just a casual Suns fan this year say, who the hell is Little?
Yeah, yeah. And
he was put in a tough spot last night.
Oh, yeah. So
and
again,
Okogie played a lot more than usual.
Yeah, just throwing stuff up against a wall.
No bull, though.
That's what desperation will do.
Mm-hmm.
They played small for a good portion of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go out to the phone, 602-260-9870. George and Tempe will lead us off here on this Monday morning. What's up, George?
Hey, well, I got to admire Frank Vogel's confidence, if not his self-awareness. I just don't think he's going to last the day. But I could be wrong. I mean, you know, he did Ishbia spent a lot of money on him, but apparently it's okay to just take $250 million and throw it in your fireplace and light it on fire, which is kind of what he did this year. So, I mean, he made some extreme moves. Clearly, you know, they didn't work out. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think anybody's untouchable anymore. That's including Devin Booker. I don't know how he can do anything because I understand the constraints we're under. But, I mean, nothing's off the table at this point in a rebuild. And, you know, the overwhelming point really that I came away with after watching this playoff series and all the other games is that if the NBA doesn't do something very soon about the three-point line, they've got to take the corner three away. They've got to shove it back a few feet. They've got to do something because this game is unwatchable now. It's just terrible. And, you know, we have to figure out how to go forward, but I don't want to be in James Jones' shoes, that's for sure.
Listen, no. Going forward, Kevin Durant's going to make $49.8 million next year. Devin Booker's going to be $49.3 million, and Bradley Beal's making over $50 million.
Not to mention what Grayson Allen just signed for.
Oh, yeah.
Look, and to George's point, Matt Ishbia, at least early in his ownership, has proven that money is no object.
Mm-hmm.
But even the richest of owners is not going to sit here and throw bad money at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, experiment not winning a playoff game, let alone a series.
That's where the disgrace is.
That changes your viewpoints.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
602-260-9870,
the phone number. Nick in Phoenix is up next here on Arizona Sports. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I hear a lot of people calling for a rebuild, trade everyone, but I really think that's the worst thing we could possibly do. We're not going to get any actual value for what we have on our team, and it's kind of crazy to go the entire season and not even experiment with Beal coming off the bench. I'm not just saying that because how he played yesterday, but he's had to play a specific role for 12 years in his career, and that's him being the primary ball handler, him being the primary option. I don't know how we never even once experimented with him coming off the bench. I just don't get it.
Well, look, I think there's some merit to asking that question, Nick, mm-hmm. but let's be honest about it. You don't go, here's part of the folly of this, the whole construction. You knew what Bradley Beal's making. You're going to acquire a $54 million a year player and ask him to play a role, be a bench player?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had to take a back seat, and we talked about that too, him sacrificing what he was used to do. I mean, that's one thing I can't get past is Devin Booker spent 8 years elevating himself to be the best two guard in basketball. And when he got to that point, they were like, we're going to change what you do.
Bradley Beal, and he's no longer the best two guard in basketball.
No, he wasn't the best two guard in the series.
No.
Anthony Edwards.
Yep.
I mean, he was fantastic last night. And this, again, was not a series that was dominated by Anthony Edwards. This was a total team win by Minnesota. And real quick, before we go back to the phones, I want to give them credit. That was pretty much a perfect four-game sweep. They never allowed a run. They never had a lapse defensively.
It's true.
Ever.
The
it's
role
true.
Players all stepped up
Their
and
role
played
play,
well.
Everybody played well in this series.
There were a couple of moments last night that Devin Booker circus shot at the end of the first half.
Yes.
Royce O'Neal's three-pointer late where I thought, okay, and they never, you're right, they never let the Suns separate.
Every time the Suns did something, they answered right back, whether it was Conley or Alexander Walker or Reed or Edwards. Every single time.
And I am so tired of this team and their trepidation of attacking the basket when Rudy Gobert is on the floor. And then the turnovers at the end of the game. Bradley Beal had a wide open lane. He could have challenged and he threw the ball off to the corner and turned it over. Oh, my God.
He had five turnovers in the fourth quarter alone.
Disgusting.
Going into last night's game
But again, I don't want to hyper-focus on Bradley Beal because Devin Booker and Kevin Durant have to wear this, too. This isn't just a Bradley Beal failure.
No, and Bradley Beal was decent at times in this series. He was not good last night, but he did not overcome his struggles, that's for sure. Let's go out to Juan in Santan, who's up next here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Hey, Juan.
Good morning, boys. Disappointed. I think I've aged terribly after the season. the blame starts all the way at the top. I will start with Vogel. I think this guy was like brain dead. He did not have any business being out there as a coach. Like, are you seriously not going to play freaking ball for like a few minutes when he showed us that he can actually do something off the bench? Like, you're going to go with Nasir Little, really? He hasn't really played all year long that much. And it was just brain dead, like, decisions with this guy. I'm actually done with Vogel. If we can just get anybody from the G League, that can probably do better from this guy, because I was there in game four and the fans were there. Like, we were like, when I felt the energy of the freaking stadium, the arena just go freaking empty after like maybe the last 2 minutes. I was like, yep, there we go. We're going to get swept.
And they certainly did. Juan, appreciate the call. Let's squeeze in one more from Pedro and Mesa, who's up next here on Arizona Sports. What's going on, Pedro?
Very disappointing season, guys. I mean, this is as disappointing as when Diaw and Sotomayor went off the bench, but worse because we actually had a chance back then. I mean, it all starts at the top. I mean, the coach never had any grasp of the team. And I just want to say, I'm the biggest Devin Booker fan in the world, but what the hell happened to our guy? He lost that tenacity. He lost that drive, that be legendary crap. I mean, it's all gone. I don't know. I'm still the biggest Devin Booker fan, but he was really being a Mexican can't, not a Mexican.
Oh, my goodness.
Pedro.
Yeah, listen.
Drop the mic.
That's a great line. Devin Booker last night, I forget what quarter it was, but he lost his mind on Kevin Durant and started berating KD on the floor over a bad defensive assignment or not boxing out. I forget what it was. And I'm like, it is about time you grab those reins. Too bad it's way, way late for that. Yeah, listen, this whole thing is just, it's a mess. And I just, again, all you can hope for is that a different voice and a different head coach brings out a different personality from these big three.
Yeah.
And if that's true, what does that say about the big three?
Yeah, there was one point in the game, to your point, I don't know if it was at this point, but the Suns were up 6 at the beginning of the third quarter, and it was kind of teetering. They were playing really well, and it looked like they might be able to make that elusive run to pull away a little bit. And there was a missed shot by Naz Reid, and Kevin Durant kind of went half speed on the defensive glass, and they didn't get the rebound. Minnesota got the rebound. It led to a second chance three, and from that point, it was an 8-0 run, and the whole game was uphill from that point. So one possession, but for a guy who was talking about taking it possession by possession and game by game, you gotta practice what you preach. And
yeah,
that was a big problem for the Suns this year.
Yeah, indeed.
We're going to hit the phones a little bit later on in the show as well, because there's a lot of people that want to get their feelings out. But next, we'll hit the big stories of the morning with the Rush Hour Reboot. Sarah Gazelle will take us through it next. Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Arizona built for America's dreams.
All right, nobody wants to do it, but we're going to do it anyway. The Rush Hour Reboot here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Actually, that's not true. We do have some good stuff coming, but we've got to get through the Suns first. I'm Sarah Cazell, taking you through the top stories of the day with Dan Bickley.
Hey!
With Vince Marotta. It's over, baby.
It's over.
Jarrett Carlin's here as well.
Stop crying.
All right, let's jump in. The Suns were on the wrong end of a sweep last night. Yes, that's mine for you, courtesy of the Timberwolves. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant had their biggest performances of the series in this game, although that bar is pretty low. Booker went for 49, Durant had 33. The next highest scorers were Bradley Beal with 9 points and Yusuf Nurkic with 9 points. Very inspiring stuff. Anthony Edwards also definitively announced himself as the next big thing in the NBA. He had 40 points, including 7 threes and an absolutely jaw-dropping dunk that really put the nail in the coffin with about 2:15 left in the game. We heard from Devin Booker post-game. He stuck around. And he said some interesting things on the podium. First, why did the Suns get swept? He says that the team did not pay much mind to the details in this series.
I would say the details. I've been on a pretty successful team. KD's won a ring. Coach Fizdale's been a part of the Miami Heat. I mean, Coach Vogel won one with the Lakers. And I think everybody would say, these are the time that the details matter. And it's something that, we kind of passed by and, didn't think was a big deal, but came back and bit us in the ass.
Booker also said that roster-wise, he thought this team had the talent to win it all, but he went back to the details and said, you can't just go out there and think you are going to win off of talent. Kevin Durant spoke as well. He said, this will be a learning experience for this team.
We'll all be better, be more connected as we get to just knowing that we went through a season with one another. So I think we'll be better from this.
All right, Vince, you pointed out in Vinny's View half an hour ago that in the Suns' past few playoff exits, there was immense anger, there was shock, there was confusion, there was embarrassment. But this year, for you, for so many other Suns fans, and for me, there was relief. You felt relieved that the season's over. Do you think the Suns players feel the same?
They'll never say it, but I mean, they certainly played at times toward the end of the year. A couple times I remember calling them out on this show. It's like, wow, people are looking forward to the season being over, and it looks like they agree. That Clippers game. Actually, that two-game stretch against the Clippers the last week of the season kind of looked that way. I do feel that. They're professional. They're highly paid professionals. There's competitive juices flowing in those guys that we don't know anything about, but I think this was such a disappointment and such an off-target failure that there has to be some inherent relief there.
I think it's kind of pathetic that a basketball team waits until they're down 0-3 to play with the kind of fury the Suns showed last night.
Yeah.
Devin Booker was a madman attacking the rim, and they did it apparently because they got Rudy Gobert into foul trouble, which has been a common strategy against teams playing Rudy Gobert in the past. But again, that doesn't mean there were so many times in the first three games when this team just chose to diddle around the mid-range.
No, they deferred. They were too respectful to Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert in three games had blocked one shot and had 8 total fouls in 3 games.
Yep.
That is sign that there was no attack there.
No attack.
And I think it was Booker went at Gobert hard at one point, and I was like, wow, there it is. Down 0-3. Gobert got a foul. Yeah. Didn't lead to a basket, but it led to free throws, and they actually challenged him and put him in a position to defend, and they got a foul on him. It was so frustrating.
And you got to factor in Friday night, because that was peak frustration. And watching Devin Booker almost melt down Friday night in that fourth quarter was just hard to watch. It just, what a debacle.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the note of them waiting until they are down 0-3 to wake up and try and do something, Devin Booker was asked last night, was there anything different about the way you played in game 4 than the first 3 games? He said they decided to play with pride.
I don't think pride was on the line, but everybody's response to that should have been from the start. And I completely agree.
Yeah. Why are you waiting till you're down 0-3 to give a...
That's it.
What was strange the Saturday media availability after losing in game 3, and especially Frank Vogel's comments where, in the same sentence he was talking about playing for pride, but also, relishing the fact, and I'm paraphrasing, relishing the fact that no team's ever come back from 0-3 down. It's like, well, which is it? Are you playing for pride? Or are you truly believe you're going to win this series?
Yeah.
Devin Booker's right. Playing with pride one out of four games is not acceptable, but it kind of defines this whole season for the Suns.
Okay, we will move on to the Cardinals in a moment, but last thing, we got to touch on Frank Vogel himself. Pre-game, he was asked by AZ Central's Dwayne Rankin, are you expecting to be back next season?
Coach, obviously, you've been talking about, you know, year one, build, you know, year one, learning each other. How confident that you'll get a year two to be able to build off of that?
Very.
Okay.
I got the full support of Matt Ishbia.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Full support of Matt Ishbia, he says. Can the Suns succeed with Frank Vogel as their head coach?
No. Just the anecdotal stuff, the shows of disrespect, the shows of the disconnect between the team leaders and who refuse to be leaders, by the way, and the head coach. No, there's no possible way, unless you were going to blow up the big three and just start with a ground floor rebuild.
Which, is that off the table?
I don't know. You can't do that. That's got to be off the table.
If you want to totally lose the fan base, that's
true.
The
true.
You take.
Well,
after one year,
I know this. I know that the relationship between coach and players on any team in any sport, it has a shelf life.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better as that shelf life gets further on.
It gets worse.
And if this was the first sample,
you're right.
And again, if a new voice can bring out a better version of the big three, fantastic, but shame on the big three for being like that, for not taking ownership of this team and this season from a head coach you didn't respect.
These are veterans.
Yeah.
That's what infuriates me about this team. Even after the game last night, with all due respect to Devin Booker, whom we all love, he was acting like he was above it all. Like these details, like these guys around me, they just won't pay attention to the small stuff.
Right. Okay, let's wrap this up on a slightly happier note. Valley sports fans, if you want something to hang your hat on, Mel Kiper Jr. gave the Cardinals an A grade for how they did in their draft over the weekend. He called this 12-player class a well-rounded and super talented class. The Cardinals are one of two teams in the league that got an A grade. He also said that he loved that Monty Austin-Fort went for Marvin Harrison Jr. with that fourth pick rather than chasing draft capital. What impressed you guys most about Monty Austin-Fort's second draft as the Cardinals GM?
I'm going to say probably at this point restraint. I'm not going to pinpoint a single player. I mean, I love the Marvin Harrison Jr. pick, but
yeah, sure.
I didn't watch a ton of Max Melton play football at Rutgers.
What?
I can't sit here and tip my cap and say, great pick,
good
Monty.
For you. Good for
the
you.
The restraint that Monty Austin-Fort showed, and you speculated specifically, Bick, that maybe there wasn't a whole lot of temptation to trade out of four. He could have done that. He didn't do it. He stuck by his guns, didn't live up to that reputation he had as a wheeler and dealer.
Yeah.
I'll start there.
Okay, so I would say start with the Marvin Harrison Jr. piece and the fact that going into the draft, they needed a wide receiver, cornerback, and an edge rusher. They basically checked the boxes. Now, I love what Vinny just said, because there's going to be any number of posers in this market who will rave about this player or that player or this player. Let's be honest about this. How much do we really know about Darius Robinson? How much do we really know about Trey Benson? You don't.
Yeah.
So the bandwagon optimism that comes with the NFL draft is very real, but I think that if you were going to look at this in terms of did he coherently address needs, the answer is yes.
Yeah,
I
totally agree.
I hope to watch zero Rutgers football for as long as I live.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Right.
Unless they're playing Arizona, right? Then you'll watch.
Even then, I don't know, man. Right. I don't know.
All right, we're all rebooted. Thank
you,
Sarah. Rush Hour Reboot. Every morning at 7:30, where Sarah goes through the big stories of the day, you can have a last chance to win a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey and an autographed Kyler Murray jersey. Just text jersey to 620-620 for your chance to win. That's jersey to 620-620. Coming up next, back to the Suns and their ouster from the playoffs, and we'll focus on the big three. Next, it's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
The Phoenix Suns season is over. A sweep by the Timberwolves, and now we look back at maybe the most disappointing season ever and look ahead to all the limited options to fix it. It's today at 2 on the Burns and Gambo Show.
It's hard to pinpoint just one thing right now. When you reflect back on the season, I think that, like I've been saying, we just were inconsistent with our play and the style of play that we wanted. But that's as far as I'll go. I think guys will dig deep this summer, work on what they need to work on individually. Coach and staff will try to make adjustments because we got stuff on film all season on who we could be as a team. So it's a great opportunity in the summertime to focus on your individual game. Enjoy your time off, but also realize, come back and try to make some adjustments so we can't not go through this again.
That is Kevin Durant in the aftermath of the Suns falling 122-116 to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who sweep the series 4-0. The Phoenix Suns, the first team. They're the kid at the slumber party that fell asleep first. You know what happens to that kid, Bick? He gets his hand put in a bowl of hot water.
What happens?
And the Suns just peed themselves.
What happens then, Vinny?
And everybody makes fun of you, and it goes viral on social media now.
Yeah, listen, and so I told Vinny this during the break. There was, if you want to see what a connected team sounds like, there's a press conference between Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns, and Anthony Edwards is just looking at Kat and saying, look, I told this guy, what do you need to stop bleeping fouling everybody? We can't have you on the bench. Stop bleeping fouling. And he's sharing this anecdote with the media, and I'm like, there you go. That's a team that accepts accountability. There's a team that is together pushing in, not always gently, but they're all pushing forward. This is the issue, too, with it. To their credit, at least the Suns in an elimination game did not make a big mess like they had done in their previous two elimination games at Footprint Center. But that Friday night game, there was a lot of mess coming out of that. And so this weekend, for this team to be done before May, this team of all teams, it is disgraceful.
Well, we had so many discussions on this show. Locally, there was a lot of talk about it. Nationally, there was a lot of talk about it. At certain points of the season, people were looking at the Phoenix Suns and saying, who's the leader of this team? And this is a fascinating subject. What you just brought up, the Minnesota example, is they've got a bunch of younger guys who, except for Mike Conley, who were in pretty similar spots in their career. Karl-Anthony Towns is in his ninth year. He's been around the block, but still not, I wouldn't say, a grizzled veteran at this point, certainly when it comes to playoff competition. But who's the guy that's going to pull people aside and say the difficult truths?
Mm-hmm.
The Phoenix Suns had that for 3 years in Chris Paul.
Yep.
And they changed the dynamic.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that Chris Paul makes everything better. Chris Paul, God love him, he did not have a good year in Golden State.
No.
Injury-wise and everything else that they were dealing with. But I'm wondering, Kevin Durant came here with such fanfare and, you know, he talked about wanting to be in the GOAT conversation, and everybody had to preface Kevin Durant's name by saying, he's one of the top 10 players ever to do it. You know, is anybody comfortable telling Kevin Durant, what the hell was that blockout on Karl-Anthony Towns in the third quarter that led to a second chance three?
That's right.
I don't know if anybody's willing to do that. So I think the criticisms of the Suns' leadership or lack thereof from a player standpoint. I'm not even talking about the coaching staff here. That's a different subject. But I think those are warranted.
I think you're right.
Because of what we saw unfold.
Yeah, listen, and Devin Booker.
Who's going to pull Kevin Durant aside and say, stop making lazy passes. You're too good to make that pass.
That's exactly right. I'm with you on all of that. And last night, Devin Booker seemed to lose it a little bit on KD. First time I've seen that on the floor in probably a couple months too late. I'm curious about this. Is this going to be hard for Suns fans? What if Kevin Durant and Devin Booker seem to be having the time of their life this summer in Paris, on the court, showing passion, leadership, winning, joy de vivre, all that stuff? Is that going to be hard to watch after what we just witnessed here?
I don't know. I've got a follow-up question. as members of Team USA, are they still teammates on the Phoenix Suns when the Olympics roll around?
Oh,
what I was going to say.
That's a great question.
What I was going to say is, how much passion can Devin Booker show when he's playing 6 minutes a game because Anthony Edwards just took his starting spot?
Well, that's very, very possible. Here's the thing that I thought I heard last night. In between Devin Booker showing a lot of disdain for everything about this program in year one with this big three, the word details kept coming up. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to go into real detail about these details, but there happened to be that. There was also this plea from those guys about, we'll be better next year. We'll be better next year. I think Devin Booker might be worried about what am I going to be left with here next year? Will this team try to trade Kevin Durant? You can't trade Bradley Beal. Nobody's going to take that contract. You're stuck. You don't agree with that?
I didn't mean to cut you off. No. I don't disagree with the Beal thing at all.
Right.
On the Durant thing, right now, that sounds like a way to jumpstart things. Trade Kevin Durant. But I also think the list of teams that felt the way the Suns did at the trade deadline a year ago, and that feeling was 100 times out of 100. Mm-hmm. Matt Ishbia said that on this show, 100 times out of 100. Yep. It's Kevin Durant. You got to trade for him.
Yep.
I don't know if there's many teams that feel that way right now. After this, and then you add another year onto 35, 36, unbothered.
Listen, and with all due respect to KD, who put forth a very, 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 very good offensive season, there was lots of defensive issues. There are the lapses, and there is his age, and the fact that against a young, vibrant team, this team just can't hang.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, everybody in the Suns' colors played really hard last. Devin Booker, I mean, that was maniacal was the word you used. That was the way, he played. Royce O'Neal didn't do a lot offensively, hit a big three at one point. But to watch him work in the post against Rudy Gobert or Karl Anthony Towns, mm-hmm. giving up like 8 inches and 50 to 60 pounds.
Yeah.
That guy was working so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just disappointing that it showed up in game four when they're already in a three-game hole.
And also, it's the question, what can you do with this roster? Now, you've signed Grayson Allen, and it's going to cost you a ton. I don't think there's any groundswell momentum to do the bird rights with Royce O'Neal. I think
there is, actually.
Really? Because there's no other options?
Yeah, it's one of those.
What do you do? Do you pay the tax penalty, or do you roll the dice on another one-year minimum guy? And now we're 2 years into this one-year minimum experiment, not working at all for the Suns.
And if they go get a real point guard, then what? Then is Bradley Beal coming off the bench?
And what does a real point guard look like when you're so limited with what you can spend? And what
these are all bargain basement
I'll tell
guys.
You what,
yeah,
we're gonna pour over every detail of the season and where we think
months,
it went wrong. But I have to say this now, and I felt it at the time. I really feel it now. The Cameron Payne trade for luxury tax relief to get nothing out of it was a real misstep
That's a great point
for the Phoenix Suns, and I know Cam Payne frustrated the heck out of a lot of Suns fans. But man, did he bring some stuff that they could have used.
Oh boy.
He's a quirky guy. He's hard to guard. He's left-handed. He's unorthodox. He's not afraid to shoot.
He's all emotion.
He's got true point guard skills. Yep. He loves the game. He loves his teammates.
Yep.
He has fun out there.
Yeah. I agree with you, Vinny. I agree with you.
He would have been very useful for this team this year.
I agree.
Coming up next, I wonder what the subject of the Bickley Blast will be today on this Monday.
Yeah, buckle up.
It's coming up next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.